Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the first day of November now, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Call, and we'll start this one off today with a couple of indications that while we're certainly already in World War III and still cranking it up, arguably the biggest economic meltdown in American history, if not world history, because this one will be global, thus the move towards world war, and if Big Brother and his puppets have their way, civil war as well. While the border invasion is already a fait accompli, still there are at least a few indications of light at the end of the tunnel, and whether it's a train or not, we'll have to wait and see. But more and more people, occasionally even from unlikely sources, are starting to not only wake up, but realize they've had more than enough. Let's start with the headline and the story that kicks all of this off, and then we'll go back and fill in some of the gaps. The backlash to woke culture, says a piece from Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge, which is championed by annoying, politically correct, judgmental, authoritarian, censorious, hypocritical, self-anointed masters of the universe, and they left out tyrannical, folks, has reached a crescendo. And as Elon Musk put it in a two-hour interview with Joe Rogan, the great awakening from woke has happened. And this after South Park. The libertarian-oriented, sarcastic, sometimes, comedy cartoon has nailed the coffin. The backlash, says Zero Hedge, is multifaceted. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Arkansas governor, last week signed an executive order there, eliminating what she said were, quote, woke anti-women words from the use of state government, because, get this, an XX chromosome is an XX chromosome. The science is clear and real, and there are some things only women can do, like perform the miracle of birth, and so on. And thus, government should reject any language that ignores, undermines, or erases women. And it continues. Note Zero Heads, there's now even a Get Woke, Go Broke ETF in the works, an anti-woke AI chatbot, and oh yeah, the fact that forcing woke tranny culture down the throats of Bud Light consumers has just simply killed that brand. In short, corporations, at least a few of them, before it's completely too late, have begun to realize that going woke is killing profits and even hurting the bonuses of their CEOs. And to that end, on Monday, Twitter owner Elon Musk declared that the great awakening from woke has already happened, and he added, this is, quote, good for civilization. In a separate tweet, he even had the chutzpah to declare that the word cis is in fact a heterosexual slur, and shame on anyone who uses it. Like the infamous anti-woman term TERF. How dare you be trans-exclusionary, regardless of whatever gender you think God made you. But it seems to be South Park that's getting the attention as the cultural barometer that says things have now gone over the top. As Elon Musk tweeted, South Park and joining the Pandaverse is now streaming on Paramount, which means the bellwether has sounded. And it's certainly encouraging that the knee-jerk left, right on trigger, jerked, and then jerked again. It really does seem that Jack Nicholson was right, kind of.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
And the other thing, of course, that the left really doesn't seem to be able to handle is being ridiculed, especially when it's rightfully so deserved and right on target. Here's the piece from South Park that's getting so much attention. It has to do with Walt Disney, which isn't the company that it used to be, even if old Walt himself, as may or may not be true, but at least this is one of the rumors, was in fact a pedophile. So, yeah, is he rolling over in his grave at what has become of the company he founded, or smirking? Regardless, as South Park puts it, it's certainly true that today, anyway, Disney movies suck. Yeah, folks, and given some of the not-so-veiled satanic undertones, even that might be an understatement. The writers of South Park seem to fix at least some of the blame on ultra-woke Disney CEO Kathleen Kennedy. Last week, notes Tyler Durden, we reported about how Disney punted its maximally PC Snow White remake out into 2025, as South Park, at that point, destroyed them for their woke casting in general. This time they took aim directly at Kathleen Kennedy with a piece entitled Joining the Panderverse, a reference to what the left loves to do when they virtue signal, and the cartoon characters ponder a mythical, or is it, object that might explain why they've gone so over the top, and it's called the Panderstone.
Bob Iger took us to the Disney archives and showed us an ancient piece of artificial intelligence that could be used to make the same movies over and over again while appealing to absolutely everyone. The Panderstone worked great for a while, but then came the hate mail. Ugly letters from racists who couldn't stand that some of the Panderstone's rehashes had diverse women characters in the lead. I decided I would show them. I would start making movies to fight all the bigotry in our society. But instead of doing any real work, I turned to the Panderstone. It made things so much easier.
Yeah, said the writers of South Park, Kathleen Kennedy got addicted to that pander stunt, kind of like a drug addict on smack. And things got worse and worse until eventually a demonic entity came through from a parallel universe. But wait for it, folks. Here comes the summary.
That's actually the best explanation I've heard as to why Disney movies all suck now.
Ooh, and that one's going to leave a mark. Let's pause there for just a second and go back and fill in just a couple of the stories that might help to make it clear why people are starting to be more than fed up. This one, too, comes from Zero Hedge via Nick Corbishley and at NakedCapitalism.com as well, and it's entitled Big Brother Unchained. The UK government has decided to abolish biometric and surveillance safeguards as they go for woke and broke in the way of facial recognition. As you know, they are at the leading edge of global authoritarianism and outright tyranny, and in one of the many dark ironies of our age, writes Nick, it's the government of George Orwell's own native Britain that is now seeking to, or has been seeking, I have to change, to massively escalate its deployment of live facial recognition, LFR technologies, despite any concerns raised about the potential impact, or what were once called, in other places certainly, God-given, what's constitutionally protected rights, and so on. In September, 180 rights groups and various tech experts called on governments around the world to halt their use of facial recognition global surveillance. But, says Big Brother UK, this is all about fighting crime, and you know what that means. More importantly, who that means, you slaves, you. Of course, they're called subjects of the crown over there. And this is a telling example of what we're talking about here. For better or worse, the quote goes, "The lack of attention being paid to public safeguards at such a crucial time is shocking, and the destruction of the surveillance camera code that we've all been using successfully for over a decade now is tantamount to vandalism." Say again? From that, it's almost hard to tell exactly how much Big Brother eventually gets to be too much. Part of the problem, says Big Brother Watch, a London-based civil rights and privacy organization, is that more than 89% of UK police facial recognition alerts to date have wrongly identified members of the public as people of interest. And as you might expect, the rest of the story goes on to describe slap after slap as Big Brother continues to double down. And as a piece from John Whitehead puts it, citing the predictive dystopian movie V for Vendetta, set in this very same British Isles, "This way lies madness." And some of us, of course, believe we're already there. Speaking of which, one of the worst of that evil bunch was at Swamp Central yesterday. As Jim Hoff writes for the Gateway Pundit, FBI Director and Whoremeister Extraordinaire Chris Wray has now issued yet another warning. Ooh, that Hamas and other terrorist organizations, not counting the FBI, I'm sure, may, quote, conduct attacks here on our own soil. Something they note, pointedly, that he just missed over and over again while he was targeting Trump supporters instead of actual terrorists who have now managed to stream across the open, non-existent southern borders, not by the tens of thousands, folks, or even the hundreds of thousands, but arguably the millions. And how many are actual terrorists as opposed to how many are just rapists, murderers, thieves, and other kinds of lawbreakers? Because they did, in fact, come in illegally. Answer, they don't have a clue. But if you look at how many were on terror watch lists and how many are coming from nations that are identified as terror supporters and the like, the answer is a whole hell of a lot. And I use that term explicitly. Speaking during what was ironically, and if you think about it in the Clintonian sense of truth, which means you have to parse it very explicitly. It was called the Threats to the Homeland Senate Testimony. and right there on camera, you could see one of the biggest threats to the homeland sitting behind a sign that lied right to your face, saying the Honorable Christopher Wray. How's that for slapping you across the face with it? He warned that Hamas and other foreign terrorist organizations, as opposed to domestic three-letter terror organizations, could use the ongoing turmoil in Israel that they've been pushing for and have now managed to succeed in getting as a pretext to, quote, conduct attacks here on our own soil, unquote. And I wonder if he had trouble not laughing when he said that. Says the coverage, Ray's statement, part of a larger hearing that also involved the Department of Akhtung Homeland Security, how's that for a misnomer, and its Dr. Evil Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, and NCTC Director Christine Abizai, placed a glaring spotlight, it says, on the escalating threat landscape in the United States. A threat landscape, folks, that they've worked really hard to cultivate and have finally achieved. And writes Hoft during his opening statement, aside from domestic threats, which the corrupt FBI, and maybe he's understating the case, folks, identifies as so-called violent extremists or domestic violent extremists, and that would include Trump supporters, MAGA people, and soccer moms, not to mention Christians and anybody else that can read either the Bible or the Bill of Rights. Oh yeah, and let's not forget parents who dare to think they should have some input at school board meetings about the indoctrination of their own children. Ray emphasized the urgency of addressing the threat from foreign terrorist entities now that they've distributed them to their cells all over the United States. All right, that's enough of this. I'm sick of even looking at this guy, much less listening to the crap that he's spewing while he is, in fact, aiding and abetting an invasion. And, in fact, yep, let's be honest here, folks. The term is treason because it amounts to, as the Constitution puts it, making war on the states and the people of those states. According to the Homeland Threat Assessment released by DHS, SIC, at least 172 individuals, and you can probably multiply that by at least one or two orders of magnitude, on the terror watch list have been apprehended trying to cross illegally into the United States. And guess what? Those are only the ones that allowed themselves to be caught and released. And that was only during fiscal year 2023. Jim Hoff reminds us that RNC research has revealed that, quote, Biden has enriched the Iranian regime, the one that Christopher Wray now says, surprise, is a threat. Well, Biden has enriched the Iranian regime to the tune of $100 billion or so since taking office. Wonder if that counts the $80 billion in weapons that he gave to the Taliban, a lot of which, probably more than even the amount that they're saying they want to give to Israel, is already over there, but in different terrorist hands. And listen to this little bit of self-aggrandizing propaganda from the honorable, sick Chris Wray. In this heightened environment, he pontificated, there is no question we're seeing an increase in reported threats. Und we've got to be on the lookout, listen carefully, especially for lone actors. Nope, no, they're not joining up with their terror cells now, are they? Nope. These lone actors, he said, who may take inspiration from recent events to commit violence of their own, unquote. And that's because they know that the FBI is not a threat to them. And now that we've let all those invaders in, he said, well, if we, quote, work together, we can safeguard our communities. Oh, yeah, and isn't it funny, folks? They want to come and take your guns, too, just like they did in Israel, right south of the Gaza Strip before, recent events made it clear what happens when they end up getting exactly what they're looking for. So I'm going to suggest again, and this is the only good news, but at least it's, well, maybe anyway, better late than never. So many people are finally starting to wake up to the fact that, hey, as Elon Musk put it, the worm has turned. He called it the woke mind virus in a tweet previously, describing wokeness as, quote, one of the biggest threats to modern civilization. And then he added, at its heart, wokeness is divisive, exclusionary, and hateful. It basically gives mean people a shield to be mean and cruel, armored in false virtue, unquote. Well, worse still, folks, it allows invaders to come in and take over a country before the dumbed-down denizens have even figured out what was happening, while those that they believe were safeguarding them were, in fact, handing over the keys and the weaponry to the invaders. And before we move on completely, I guess it's fair to point out that the Joe Rogan Experience interview between Rogan and Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla, owner of social media platform Twitter, now called X, and other multi-billion dollar businesses, took a hard swing at the far-left billionaire financier and outright fascist George Soros and accused him of, quote, fundamentally hating humanity and strategically, quote, eroding the fabric of society by funding a whole bunch of far-left things, including district attorneys who refuse to prosecute crimes and, in fact, if you look at what they managed to achieve, ultimately encourage them. The interview aired on Tuesday featured the outspoken entrepreneur in a wide-ranging conversation, says TGP, that covered topics from space exploration to the future of artificial intelligence. However, it was his comments about the evil, and yeah, folks, your host put that word in there, George Soros, former Nazi sympathizer, that immediately ignited, just Nazi sympathizer, that immediately ignited conversations on socialist media platforms. Musk, who's recently expanded his business portfolio, as listeners here certainly know, with the acquisition of Twitter, began the conversation by addressing Soros Soros's political influence, stating, quote, "I mean, Soros, I believe he's the top contributor to the Democratic Party." The second one was Sam Bankman-Fried, which set the stage, writes Jim Hoff, for the rest of Musk's bombshell accusations, which painted far-left Soros as what he is, a shadowy figure working to destabilize not just American society, but the entirety of humanity. Said Musk to Rogan, quote, "He had a very difficult upbringing, and in my opinion, he fundamentally hates humanity. That's my opinion." He further elaborated on those claims, pointing out Soros' role in the election of various district attorneys who, quote, "refused to prosecute crimes, a strategy he saw as deleterious to law and order, do you think, in cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles." Quote, "He's doing lots of things that erode the fabric of civilization. You know, getting the DAs elected who refuse to prosecute crime. That's probably," he said, "the problem in San Francisco and L.A. and a bunch of other cities." Now, let's not forget, folks, the fact that the victims are already pre-disarmed certainly helps the criminals. They don't have to worry about getting shot at now in most of those places, do they? Rogan asked whether this antagonism was aimed at just the United States or a broader target, and Musk responded, "He's pushing things in other countries too." Yep. In other words, he hates all of humanity, even though he's, quote, basically a bit senile at this point. Which means, folks, and we've seen this, that there are others picking up the baton, like that chip off the evil block, Alexander, who's now taken over the so-called Open Society Foundation and was one of the World Economic Forum's what else? Young Global Leaders of 2018. And he observed correctly that once you get a hold of the state and city district attorneys, Soros has realized what's clear. You don't really have to actually change the laws. You just need to change how the law, such as it is enforced. Quote, "If nobody chooses to enforce the law or the laws are differentially enforced, it's just like changing the laws." And as we've observed, and maybe this is what more and more people are figuring out too, if you're high enough up that satanic food chain, the law doesn't really exist for you anyway at all. From there, one other bit of interesting news. I won't call it good news because arguably the damage has already been done, like so many other things we're seeing. But at least more and more people, again, are starting to figure out what's already been done to them. The Biden-Fuhr wind revolution, says a piece from Zero Hedge, is blowing down as the world's largest offshore wind farm and its developer has now abandoned two major U.S. projects due to supply chain and interest rate impacts and recorded impairment charges as well that are above previous forecasts. Yep, the world's largest offshore wind farm developer has called it quits. As the Zero Hedge story puts it, the renewable bust continues to, bust. Ørsted AS announced that U.S. offshore wind projects have experienced further negative developments from adverse impacts relating to supply chains. Well, you know, they don't exist. Increased interest rates and the lack of what's called an OREC, or Offshore Renewable Energy Certificate. In other words, if we're going to take it on the chin, we need more subsidies, which have forced it to cease the development of the so-called Ocean Wind 1 and 2 projects off the coast of New Jersey. And ironically, folks, I can remember doing almost this same story before, but it seems the bad news just kind of keeps coming back and expanding on itself a bit. If a project is PC enough and has enough government subsidy, I guess it's like a zombie. It refuses to die until you really hit it with the wooden stake. "This is extremely disappointing," said Mads Nipper, chief executive. And he added, well, quote, "Now assess the best way to preserve value while we cease development of the projects." And you know what that means? Continue to hang on to your wallets. Shares in Denmark of the green energy giant crashed as much as 22%, says Zero Hedge, falling to lows not seen in 6 years. Says Zero Hedge, the renewable energy bubble is now in meltdown, and perhaps, says your host, that's because it isn't renewable, folks. And more people are starting to do a little bit of simple math and figure that out. As we start to wrap up today, I'll note that I've mentioned several times that we've seen things that finally look like people are starting to figure it out, and that inclines me to hearken back to a story that I first did back in March of this year on exactly that same topic, and, of course, what follows. This story caught my eye back then, still does, and it's kind of meta news. The Hal Turner Radio Show points out that when both the far left, and at least alleged far right, but really it's just less left, so-called news entities, CNN and Fox, or Faux News, both are pushing the same line. Uh-oh, is world U.S. dollar dominance at risk? And it's not like that hasn't been obvious, folks, for literally years at this point. But why? At long last, now. As if we couldn't kind of smell the answer. Why, it looks like somebody dropped the memo and updated the narrative. Still, though, the spin between the far left and the medium left is dramatic, but both of them are ultimately issuing the same warning. On CNN, Fareed Zakaria gave his opinion. Okay, he read the script. Talking about how the dollar is still the world reserve currency, but it's now suffering a death by a thousand cuts. There was the expected Trump bashing and Biden worship. It's all the former guy's fault, don't you know? But still, they want their viewers to know it just could be that a change is going to come.
Here's my take. The most interesting outcome of the three-day summit between Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping got limited media attention. Describing their talks, Putin said, "We are in favor of using the Chinese yuan for settlements between Russia and the countries of Asia, Africa, and Latin America."
As if this hadn't been openly discussed by those powers and others, albeit ignored by the waste stream, for years now.
So, the world's second largest economy and its largest energy exporter are together actively trying to dent the dollar's dominance as the anchor of the international financial system.
Yeah, tell me something we couldn't see coming and haven't been talking about.
The dollar is America's last surviving superpower. It gives Washington unrivaled economic and political muscle. It can slap sanctions on countries unilaterally, which frees that country out of large parts of the world economy. And Washington can spend freely, certain that its debt will be bought up by the rest of the world.
No wonder the world's been looking for an alternative. But now he says, so does the Fox person. Sounds like the same script. We have the perfect storm. Yeah, it's been a long time coming. They've been working hard to get it here, but we're there. World War III, sanctions upon sanctions, and blowing up pipelines and stuff like that, too.
Have created a perfect storm in which both Russia and China are accelerating efforts to diversify away from the dollar.
Duh, and who can blame them?
Their central banks are keeping less of their reserves in dollars, and most trade between them is being settled in the yuan. They are also making efforts to get other countries to follow suit.
And as the rest of the BRICS nations, and more recently Saudi Arabia, now India and others have pointed out, those efforts are bearing fruit. And although, of course, the Biden regime is doing wonderful things, there is a but.
All that said, Washington's weaponizing of the dollar over the last decade has led many important countries to search for ways to make sure that they do not become the next Russia.
Gee, do you think? Well, on to faux news, where former Assistant U.S. Treasury Secretary Monica Crowley came on and was a bit more forthcoming.
It's really hard to overstate exactly how catastrophic the abandonment of the U.S. dollar would be as the world's global reserve currency. Look, since the end of World War II, the dollar has been the safe place to go, and it's been backed up by a couple of things. It originally was backed up by gold, but President Nixon took us off the gold standard, so there's no hard asset backing up the dollar anymore for the last 50 years. But also it's been backed up by the strength and economic power of the United States.
Which, as we all know, has now been pretty much gutted.
And the fact that oil has always been traded in dollars.
And as we've been talking about here, that's rapidly coming to an end. Besides, the Biden regime doesn't want you to have so-called carbon-based fossil fuels, natural gas, propane, or things like gasoline or diesel anyway.
If that were to end...
Oops.
That would mean the end of the U.S. dollar. Look, there is a perfect storm happening right now.
And evidently it's time to start softening you all up for it.
The world's reserve currency, having that status, has been a real privilege, but we've abused the privilege by wholly reckless monetary and fiscal policies over many years, certainly over the last couple of years, which has really devalued the dollar. On top of that, now you do have this perfect storm of Biden's weakness, his war on American domestic energy production, the Ukraine war.
And it looks like the rest of the world's just plain had enough. No wonder they're pushing the CBDC and greasing the skids for what's obviously coming next. Now, Monica Crowley certainly puts it differently than your host has for quite some time now, but she does mention the BRICS and what would happen if they got together and decided to put forth an alternative to the dollar. They have. And what if Saudi Arabia even indicated they were open to it? They have.
To say, you know what, we're going to be open to considering other currencies to trade in oil. If that were to happen, there would be a complete implosion of the global economic system, but certainly the American economic system. And if that were to happen, you'd be looking at sky-high inflation, just raging Weimar Republic kind of inflation. If you think inflation is bad now, just wait. But more importantly, we would lose our economic dominance and we would lose our superpower status.
Why, if that were to happen, and it pretty much seems to have, why, just imagine. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.